Well, here we are. And that's actually a true and profound statement. That this is being here and waking up to being here is really our work. And what we don't do actually that often, what we don't connect with that often. So often our thoughts are taking us out of this here and now into thoughts of past or future, or even thinking about now, but in the thinking we may not be aware of what's going on right now. Now, thinking itself isn't what is an issue, but thinking tends to be something that creates the conditions for our mind to not be here and now, to not be aware, here we are. And so we've arrived, and we are beginning to settle into our rooms, into being here. And it's a gift to ourselves to settle into this kind of place of seclusion. We are essentially, for these days, really secluding ourselves from our usual places of where we live, our usual interactions with our families and friends. We're secluding ourselves in the silence. We're secluding ourselves with meditation. And so this is a gift that we give to ourselves, to let ourselves step out of the world for a period of time. For those of you coming into this kind of form for the first time, it can feel a little bit scary, perhaps. 5 days of silence, 5 days of not speaking. That might seem unfathomable. I know that it did for me the first time I went into meditation. I was very uncomfortable not being able to check myself out against people, not being able to say, hey, am I okay? Are you okay with what I'm doing? And so that felt uncomfortable at first. And yet, by the end of that first retreat that I did, that first weekend retreat, I found that the silence was one of the biggest gifts, one of the biggest almost places of relief and settling. Sometimes Gil says that if all we did on a retreat was to come and be in silence and eat good meals and take quiet walks and be in nature, that there would be a huge amount of settling and letting go that happened very naturally without even trying to meditate. And yet we also have the opportunity of exploring a little bit, being here with ourselves, opening to what's happening here in our hearts and minds, opening to this body, this mind, and what's happening. How we are in relationship to ourselves, how we are in relationship to the world. So often on our something that motivates us into a spiritual journey is struggle, stress, suffering, our relationship to ourselves in the world, our relationship to others in the world, our relationship to situations, events in the world. And so often our spiritual journey can be motivated by the feeling of distress, unease, confusion, struggle, dissatisfaction, anger, to our lives, what's happening in our lives, what's happening in the world, what's happening in our relationships. Now, our lives are often not only that struggle, and yet most of us on a spiritual journey do have some measure of that being a motivation, of touching into how and why we are struggling. And the Buddha at one point, in terms of his own journey, said to himself, you know, this sense of struggle, this sense of stress, you know, does anyone know a way or two out of this struggle and stress? His own journey was motivated by this question. And so we often are looking for a sense of security, of some kind of place to land and feel at home, to feel at ease. And yet the way that we typically go about finding a place of security, of refuge, a place to land, is based on really unreliable things. We tend to look for security in our relationships, in our communities, in our homes, in having solid earth underneath us. And, you know, the situations daily when we read the news, you know, the earth itself is not stable. The earthquakes and the volcanoes that destabilize our places of refuge, our places of security. Our families, our friends are human, subject to human illness, aging, and death. And so those relationships also not stable. Our conversations in this country, in the United States, are full of divisiveness and opinions. Views and opinions being shared and combated over this instability in the realm of social discourse, social conversation. And so if we are looking to outside of ourselves, essentially, if we're looking for stability or security in the ways that we usually find or think of finding stability or security, we're probably not going to find a reliable security, a reliable refuge, a reliable place to feel safe. Because our usual sense of looking for that security is founded on basically not acknowledging the truth of how things are, the impermanent nature of all experience. And as we acknowledge, as we begin to acknowledge that our usual ways of finding happiness and finding security are not very reliable, we may ask ourselves, as the Buddha did, does anyone know a way or two to a more reliable security, a more reliable refuge? You know, the instability of the world, of our bodies, of the planet. I mean, we are very close to fault lines here in this spot. You know, we might actually feel an earthquake while we're here. Very first earthquake I felt when I moved to California was something of a revelation. That experience of the earth itself not being what I thought it was, not being stable, it shook me quite deeply. And so this unreliability, instability of experience and of our relationships, of our homes, of our jobs, of our families and friends. This is a truth. This is not something that we can find some kind of refuge or place where that truth is not happening. And so perhaps a different way to explore refuge might be, rather than thinking about how can I try to stabilize the world, how can I make sure that everything around me stays still, at least for some stretch of time, so that I can relax for a few minutes or a few days. Another approach that the Buddha pointed to is exploring coming into alignment with this truth of impermanent and unreliable. Acknowledging this truth rather than resisting it or fighting it. Opening to it. Usually when we meet this truth, when we meet this truth of impermanent, unreliable, things being uncontrollable, often when we meet this truth, we feel like, I've done something wrong. I mean, we have a couple different reactions. The first one might be, I've made a mistake. I've done something wrong that this experience and this situation is so unstable. Or we might blame somebody else for this situation being unstable. Or we might just blame the universe. We tend to want to blame somebody or, you know, figure out how to fix it or change it so that we can find that stability again in the way that we are familiar with. This stop the change, please. Can we stop the change so I can rest for a little while? That's the usual way that we go about finding refuge and security. But instead of fighting that impermanent, unreliable, uncontrollable nature of experience, if we instead explore what it might mean to fully open to that truth, align ourselves with that, there's a different kind of security that comes in that aligning ourselves with the truth. It's a mind that can be balanced and not reactive to the changing nature of the world. And in that non-reactivity, in that place of aligning with the truth, something shifts. And that mind of balance, becomes a different kind of refuge. It's as if this alignment with the truth, this alignment with things as they are, is a different approach to being in the world, where the heart can rest with the change, with the unreliability. It doesn't have to stop the change, doesn't have to prevent the unreliability. It can rest in the midst of it. This is what the Buddha is said to have discovered, this kind of rest in the midst of what seems so unreliable. And so he pointed us to this place of refuge. I'm going to let Pam talk more about the refuges.
A refuge is, as Andrea has been describing, a place where we can rest. It's a relatively safe place, a place where we can put down, lay down the need to, as you were just describing, wonder, how am I doing? Check out how everybody else is doing. Put down the comparing mind, the need to perform, to achieve, to accomplish. And we can just be here. It's really very, very simple. And if there's some piece of initial advice to offer you as you begin, whether this is your first retreat ever or you've sat many, many retreats, it's to remember to keep it simple. I don't know how well you know your own mind, but I will say for myself that my mind, after years and years of meditative practice, is a completely crazy person. Totally. So you don't have to stop your mind. You just see it clearly for what it is. And keeping it simple, you may discover over these next days, is not so easy. So a place of refuge, and we're using this word on purpose because we discussed before we came together, Amana and Andrea and I, that we would take this theme of refuge as the theme for the retreat. So we'll be talking about this in an ongoing way and giving talks about refuge and refuge in the what are called the three treasures. The triple treasure, the three jewels of the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. But I'll say a few more things about refuge. Refuge is a place where you're welcome. Fully, wholeheartedly, completely welcome, just as you are. So all of you are welcome here. You might think, nah, not me. No, you. Whoever you are, whatever color you are, whatever shape you are, whatever you are, you're welcome here. This was one of the really radical things that the Buddha did. He's mostly known for his gorgeous spiritual teachings, understandings, the deep understandings of the heart and mind, but he was also kind of a radical social revolutionary. The Buddha opened the doors, opened the arms of his community, his Sangha, to everyone within a very stratified class system that he was born into in northern India 2,600 years ago. So everyone was welcome. This was not the norm at the time. But it's true here too, that everyone is welcome. And not just all of you, but all parts of you. Sounds kind of goofy, but you know what I mean, right? How we take those parts that we don't like so much, or we think somebody else won't like so much, and we kind of tuck them away. We put them aside. All of it is welcome here. there is a place, a physical place on the big island of Hawaii called the City of Refuge. And the legend goes that some time ago, if you behaved badly in some way, you broke a law, you committed a crime, you did something hurtful or harmful to yourself, to another person, to the community, that if you could get to the City of Refuge, the City of Refuge is this area on this little spit of land that goes out into this gorgeous blue ocean. If you could get to the City of Refuge, which might have meant walking many, many miles over rough, lava-crusted earth in the hot sun, so it was not a small endeavor. If you could get there, all of your sins, all of your mistakes, all of your bad behavior, anything you might have regretted, would all be lifted, that you would be completely forgiven. So just to take that on as a metaphor, the refuge, as Andrew was saying, is not actually a place. Refuge is a state of mind and heart. And part of the invitation as you come here, as we begin to co-create a space of refuge for each of us and for all of us together, is that it's a place in which you are already completely forgiven. Whatever difficulties you might have come in with, it's not that they are forgotten. It's very likely that whatever you arrived with may bubble up in the next days. And just to say that out loud is a way to understand that if that happens, you're not doing anything wrong. That's how it goes. It's okay. But you are forgiven. It's okay to be yourself. It's okay to be a human being. It's okay to make mistakes, to have made mistakes, and to welcome yourself fully here into this heart and mind of receptivity, of kindness, of clarity, of forgiveness. The word refuge, the Latin word refuge, is a refugie. It means to fly back. So refuge is a kind of returning. It is, again, as Andrea said at the beginning, it's a returning here. Here. Again and again and again. We come home. We land. We arrive. There's no end to here. We continuously are arriving. So let's discover for ourselves individually and together, what is it like over these next days if we establish this place where it's okay to be yourself. It's okay to be here. That we can become a place of refuge for ourselves and for each other. And that we can carry that heart and mind of refuge in ourselves and as ourselves as we return at the end to go back into the busier, crazier, wide, wild, aching world. So to invite us all to enter into this space into this open-hearted, spacious cauldron that we create together. We will invite all of us to chant the refuges. So this is a traditional and really very ancient Buddhist chant. It's chanted in all Buddhist traditions, which is taking refuge, as I said, in the triple treasure, in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. So Andrea and Amana are going to pass out these chant cards, and I'll say a few more words about it. So as we chant in this way, we are, again, as Andrea said, we're aligning ourselves with what it's worth relying on. Because so often we spend our time, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places, right? We're grabbing on to things that we want to be reliable, and they're not. Buddhist teaching, at the heart of the teaching, is this idea that this triple treasure, this triple gem of taking refuge in the Buddha as the possibility of awakening, the possibility of finding a place of rest, not in some, you know, imaginary esoteric realm, but right here, right in the middle, right in the heat and heart of things, we can find a sense of peace. We can find a sense of freedom. This is taking refuge in Buddha. And we take refuge in Dharma. Dharma is traditionally understood as the teachings of the Buddha, but Dharma is also the truth. We take refuge in the truth. We take refuge, we rest into, we relax back into things as they are. We may not like it. We may not always like things as they are. I don't. And yet, it's possible. It's possible to be here, to be with, to allow, several people said in the check-ins, ourselves to be present with what's here and what's true. We live in a time when truth itself is under siege. And when the truth is under siege, it's so easy to lose our ground. And so this is an invitation to really find the simple, but not so easy, truth of now, of now, of now, of each moment. Because that's where real stability comes. And finally, we take refuge in Sangha. We take refuge in the truth of our connectedness. We take refuge in the weird paradox that although no one can do your practice for you, only you can do your practice. That simultaneous, concurrent with that truth is the paradoxical truth that none of us walk alone. That we are literally, not just metaphorically, joined at the hip. That we are deeply and intricately interconnected in this web of interbeing. So let's chant together these refuges as a way to begin to line ourselves up to enter into this realm of refuge, this place of homecoming, of forgiveness and belonging, of allowing, of truth and connection and freedom. So we'll do this together. And we're going to do just the left side column. So on the left side of the refuge chant is, it's in Pali, and the right side is an English translation. So we're not going to chant in English, but if you want to know what you're saying, there it is. And we'll do the first paragraph three times, and then each of the three paragraphs after, line by line, one at a time. And if for any reason you don't feel like you want to put your voice into the room, that's fine. Please just listen and let the sounds of the words wash through you. So again, I'll chant a line and invite you as a collective to respond, to chant in return. Namo tassa.
Namo tassa.
Bhagavato arahato.
Bhagavato arahato.
Sammā sambuddhassa.
Sammā sambuddhassa.
Namo tassa.
Namo tassa.
Bhagavato arahato.
Bhagavato arahato.
Sammā sambuddhassa.
Sammā sambuddhassa.
Namo tassa.
Namo tassa.
Bhagavato arahato.
Bhagavato arahato.
Sammā sambuddhassa.
Sammā sambuddhassa.
Buddham saranam gacchami.
Buddham saranam gacchami.
Dhammam saranam gacchami.
Dhammam saranam gacchami.
Sangham saranam gacchami.
Sangham saranam gacchami.
Utiyampi Buddham saranam gacchami.
Utiyampi Buddham saranam gacchami.
Utiyampi Dhammam saranam gacchami.
Utiyampi Dhammam saranam gacchami.
Utiyampi Sangham saranam gacchami.
Datiyampi
Buddham saranam gacchami.
Datiyampi Buddham saranam gacchami.
Datiyampi Dhammam saranam gacchami.
Datiyampi Dhammam saranam gacchami.
Datiyampi Sangham saranam gacchami.
Datiyampi Sangham saranam gacchami.
I always feel so joyful when taking the refuges, particularly when starting a new retreat. I see the refuges as a weaving together of a basket that holds and contains us as we journey together in silence and deepen our practice. And each of the three gems is part of the warp and weft of that basket that we're weaving that holds us. And we are truly the contents of that basket. So into that, we bring a commitment of ethical conduct. so necessary for us to be together in the safety, in the refuge, to care for each other and for ourselves, and to make a commitment to open our hearts to loving kindness for each other. And so into that basket we pour the precepts. The commitments to training our hearts and understanding that all that's in the heart is not skillful and should be trained. Non-harming is a fundamental foundation of our practice. And the precepts are commitments to non-harming. Each one of the five precepts that starts with undertaking the training to refrain from taking life. It's an element of non-harming. There's always an internal and an external element to all that we do. And a lot of times we look at non-harming as not harming another. And this is certainly part of our being together in harmony. But it's also very elemental to not harm internally, to not harm ourselves. And there are all kinds of ways of killing. Walling off our hearts and creating barriers and killing that which would come in as joy or tenderness, and blocking that which will go out of our hearts. There's the killing of dreams, our own dreams and the dreams of others. And these are internal aspects of harming. So the first precept is to not kill and to not do harm. The second precept is to undertake the training to refrain from taking that which is not given. To not steal. These are principles that allow us to be free from fear and to also be free from remorse internally. When we take on the precepts, we create a safety for each other. We offer the gift of fearlessness, an element of ease so necessary to settle into our practice. The other thing that we are cultivating when we do not take that which has not been given freely, is we are cultivating a sense of contentment within ourselves, with what we have, an acceptance of where we are, without clutching or grasping onto things that do not belong to us. And in a sense, when we're practicing not taking that which has not been given freely, we're also offering a generosity. And we're setting ourselves in a soft bed of gratitude for what we have. And the third precept is to undertake the training to refrain from misuse of sexuality and the senses. And sensual misconduct on all levels, not simply sexuality, but any of the six sense doors. When we renounce our electronics, our phones, our iPads, our computers, we're refraining from indulging at a time when we have offered ourselves the gift of coming together and really being in silence and cultivating all that arises for us, establishing insight for ourselves. On the other aspect of it, when we refrain from the misuse of sexuality and the senses, we're respecting and cherishing our relationships with each other. It's another form of non-harming. And the fourth precept is to undertake the training to refrain from false speech. To not fabricate and create untruths. But it's also to not have expressions of harshness, divisiveness, which we certainly have enough of in our world right now. Or idle or meaningless expressions and speech. To refrain from false speech is a nice way to say not to lie. And the fifth precept is to undertake the training to refrain from intoxicants that cloud the mind and create carelessness. And this is also a care for our bodies. And in so doing, we're caring for each other by maintaining clarity of mind and continuing to cultivate clarity of mind. So into this cauldron that Pam talked about of the refuges, this basket, this container that holds us all together as we take this journey together, we take on the precepts because we are the contents of the container in the same way that we are the contents of the world when we look out in the world with criticism. We are the contents. So the precepts are to undertake the training to develop a moral compass, ethical conduct, that allows and gives the gift of fearlessness. Our practice is a relational practice. It's not singular or solitary. It is how we relate to each other and how we relate to ourselves. How we hold each other and how we hold our mind, heart, and our body. And how we hold ourselves is the portal by which we hold each other. So at this time, I invite you to repeat the precepts after me. I undertake the training to refrain from intentionally taking life. I undertake the training to refrain from taking that which is not given.
I undertake the training to refrain from taking that which is not given.
I undertake the training to refrain from misuse of sexuality and the senses.
I undertake the training to refrain from misuse of sexuality and the senses.
I undertake the training to refrain from false speech.
I undertake the training to refrain from false speech.
I undertake the training to refrain from intoxicants that lead to carelessness.
I undertake the training to refrain from intoxicants that lead to carelessness.
So the bell is a signal that we've now entered the retreat. And we're aware that it's late and many of you have traveled some distance. But we want to have a short sit as a way of moving in. You've been sitting for a while, so if you want to change your posture or stand up for a moment to stretch your legs, please feel free to do that. So we will sit together for just 10 minutes, maybe a little bit more, just to give ourselves an initial settling in. Whether we are sitting or walking or standing, our practice, as I said earlier, is very simple. Not so easy. It's the practice of being here. And as we begin our initial sitting meditation, inviting you to find a posture that allows the body as much as possible to feel a sense of stability and support, a sense of groundedness and presence. And whether you have your eyes open or closed or half open or half closed, bringing your attention inward, attending as you begin, listening in to the felt sense of the body, of your body sitting here now. Sometimes we carry an image or a picture of ourselves, of our body, around in the mind. This is a different invitation to notice what's the immediate, actual, felt experience of being alive right here. I like to imagine when I come into sitting that I could let the weight of my body, the heaviness, the density of the bones and muscles really rest down, sink down. Letting the body give way to gravity. Feeling the earth element of the body resting on the earth. And as you feel the weight of the body sinking down, feeling the length of the body rising up, allowing that long vertical core of the spine, not in any rigid or tense way, but just allowing the natural curves of the spine to bring a sense of uprightness, of verticality. Sinking down and rising up. Letting all of the tissue, the muscles, the flesh, the tendons, all around the bones soften. Relax. You might notice as you tune in, listen in to the felt sense of the body sitting, that all on its own, without any special effort, the body is breathing. Can you let yourself enjoy the felt sense of the breath in the body, just as it is, however it is for you now? Beginning this way, keeping it very simple. Being with the body, being with the breath. Moment by moment, just this. So please rest well this evening as you continue to settle in, remembering that we are now in silence. And take good care of yourself as you continue to arrive this evening. And there'll be a bell at 5:30, a bell and a flag, maybe some knocking on doors even, I'm not sure, to get everyone here for the morning sitting at 6 a.m. Anything else?